Well, here we are in Lorraine Johnson's kitchen in Vaux. Well, Lorraine, thanks for an half a fine dinner. So, we're speaking about young folk in Shetland, and are they still speaking Shetland dialect, do you think?
Well, it's a mixed scene, really. I mean, some of them do, and some just dinna, and some, I believe, can, but whether they do maybe depends on why they're speaking to you. I would say it, most adults would just say at the, oh, the young age doesn't speak Shetland. But that's probably more the case in the toon. But not uniquely the toon.
I mean, we were in Lerwick yesterday, and just, we were up near the school, the high school, and you could, there was bairns coming out. I didn't suppose they're really bairns, they're mere teenagers, but they were coming out for the school. And we were listening and wondering what kind of speech was coming from them. And I have to say, I didn't hear a lot of Shetland dialect. And that's a disappointment to me, obviously. But do you think that we were maybe just unlucky and that there is bairns and teenagers in Shetland, sorry, in Lerwick, that speak dialect?
Well, I think I'm not surprised at the picture you got, really. And you do have in mind that nowadays in Shetland, we don't have a settled population that's been here and nowhere else for generations. I mean, there's been a lot of incoming population. And folk that's been born here, and that was their parents' generation that came in, and you can hardly expect them to be picking up dialect when they're not hearing it as they grow up. And then the mix, when all the bairns mix together, bairns end up speaking the same. It used to happen if they were fucking moved into Shetland, their bairns would, within a remarkably short time, just speak like the rest of the bairns. Now, that, some of that folk is still with us. And they are really bilingual. They can do it. They can sound like their parents sounded, and they can sound like we sound. But when the majority stops being dialect speakers, then of course the picture changes.
Aye, because then the new ones coming in doesn't learn Shetland dialect.
No, because they had to learn it for their peers. They can't learn it for their parents.
They want anybody else. I mean, when you're in the street in Lerwick, you can hear folk speaking dialect. It's nearly like there's nobody. I mean, there is. I was in the street this morning, and you could hear folk speaking to each other in Shetland.
Of course.
And so there's folk using the dialect. And there's this issue with youngins, though. That, do you think when they left school and maybe working, they maybe change the type of speech? So, say for example, they've been mostly like, kind of English speaking at school. If they get a job somewhere where are the other folk or Shetland speakers, do you think they'll start speaking Shetland there?
Well, I kind of did. I am seeing that happening in at least one case that I can think of, so it is possible. That's interesting. I mean, I think this is still a process that's going on, and we're watching to see what happens. We even hear sometimes that when bairns that's been brought up in Shetland goes away, like to college and university, sometimes they suddenly start to identify with the place a bit more as they actually did when they lived there. And sometimes they start being more interested in speaking Shetland. Then.
Aye. I think that maybe happens with folk from other communities. I mean, maybe Aberdeen folk, when they meet up, if they're above Aberdeen, they'll speak Mary Aberdeen to each other.
Maybe.
Than they would in other situations. But so, I mean, when do you think this process began? I mean, is it in the past 20 years that there's been this change? Lot of young folk now speaking Shetland.
I think that the media has a big thing to play here, because the media is ever present. I mean, you can hear voices coming in through your earphones 24 hours or 24, and not very many of them will be Shetland. Mm-hmm. You think what I
Maybe
mean?
Maybe nine.
Mm-hmm. And like when you think about really young bairns, well, I mean, when our bairns was pretty, they were lovely bairns programmes, but they were on and then they were finished. So you would watch Rainbow at 12 o'clock and play school at 20 past 4. And that was that really was, you were wanting them to ever see, and there were nothing else to be. But now you can see CBeebies on the whole day.
The whole day, aye.
And I mean, it's very...
And there's nothing but just standard English.
Well, I don't know which CBeebies.
Well, I don't really care myself, but I'm assuming
I'm acquaint with Peppa Pig. She's certainly English.
Is she half English spoken? There's no Shetland.
And the whole merchandising that comes with her is brilliant. But of course you can read the stories in any accent you want.
Well, absolutely. I think that's aye been the case, though, and some folk have maybe translated to their
ears
as they go along. Mm-hmm. Aye, that's it. And
although I have to say, like, nobody, I don't think folk did that to me as a bairn. Because when I was read they, I think they just read it after page, because I aye mind my father saying that he was awful fed up with the story it began. Once there was a postman who loved parties. And apparently it was my favourite story, but he wasn't a speaking Shetland to me when he read it. He read it off the page. But of course I was hearing that much more.
Well, you must have been hearing it else. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, eh? Because everybody round about would have been speaking
Shetland.
That's
it. When you think about the percentage of time at bairns nowadays hears folk speaking Shetland. Mm-hmm. Sometimes out of the whole day. That's not a lot.
Maybe aye.
Depends how much they speak to their parents.
Aye. And what about the initiatives locally to get parents interested in dialect in schools and other places? I mean, do you think there'll ever be enough? Are they? What I mean to say is, it's so overwhelming the English language culture that mm-hmm. young Ains experience. I mean, if their experience of Shetland dialect is maybe just new and again in the school, I mean, what are they left with? I mean, I'm not trying to be depressing about this. I'm not trying to get you to say it's all tragedy that we face. But I'm just thinking, I suppose all of us working in this field sometimes think it's overwhelming. The odds are overwhelmingly against us. Do you think the odds are overwhelmingly against Shetland? Or is there a possibility that these initiatives, coupled with an increasing sense of local pride or whatever in identity or language identity or whatever, do you think that's enough? That would be enough to save Shetland speech?
Well, if I can say, Michael, I would, on my optimistic days, I would say it has a chance. There are days that I'm wondering.
Well, I'm the same. I mean, sometimes I'm out and about in the place I live in West Lothian, and I hear nearly everybody, or obody, as they would say, speaking in their local dialect.
Well, that's
And that's great. Mm-hmm. And there's other times that you hear nobody, nobody's mm-hmm. speaking in some kind of SSE, mm-hmm. Scottish Standard mm-hmm. English kind of fashion, and it's very depressing. And other times I go to Aberdeen and I hear Aberdeen speech, Awai. Mm-hmm. And then recently, for example, I was in company with somebody and used the word Kirk with a young person, and they didn't get what a Kirk was. Anyway, it's maybe to do with a change in religious observance or something like that, but I was quite surprised that even a basic word like Kirk, mm-hmm. which is our Shetland word as well as our mm-hmm. Scots word, is a word that folk didn't ken. So I think I feel like yourself. I mean, sometimes I'm really elated when I hear this speech that's a Scots speech, a local dialect speech, and other times I think, are we losing this fight?
Mm-hmm. Then again, if you were aware of the detective,
the thing set in Shetland,
the detective story on TV known as entitled Shetland.
Well,
it was a two-part story.
I kent about it, but I didn't see it.
Well, that was very interesting because, of course, Mr. the Actors was Faisouth.
Uh-huh.
And they were hardly a Shetland accent in it.
Uh-huh.
Now, this was one of the comments that was made locally, was that they were none of Shetland accents. And then, of course, you do hey, the very valid point that, well, that's wasn't really that unusual because you can walk along the street any day and you might know here.
Oh,
here, so that was just one example.
Well, I think that's probably I understand that. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we had I didn't watch the thing. I'm not a great TV watcher myself, but we had a discussion on Facebook about it at the mm-hmm. Scots Language Centre page on Facebook, and I was asking folk, well, what was the language like? And there was a few comments about, well, there wasn't really one Shetland dialect at all. Mm-hmm. And some of the folk writing were Shetlanders. But at the same time, I think that the TV in the UK, or the media in the UK, is very bad at representing any diversity of speech.
Oh, I think so. Scotland equals Glasgow, really, in their
absolutely.
Opinion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then the Scottish version of television channels tends to think that Glasgow SSE is what the normal form of speech is. But I do notice now on the, for example, Radio Scotland News, if somebody, folk are more confident about not trying to change their speech. So I was on the radio recently speaking about Burnsnacht and about the loss of the velar fricative mm-hmm. in the name, and now how it's mm-hmm. called Burns Night by Aberdeen, which probably is fine for Shetlanders.
Well, no, all of us know.
They're
a split.
Aye. Well, for some of Shetlanders, it'll be fine to hear mm-hmm. Burns Night. But the other thing was they were asking young folk in Glasgow, prior to me being on, I was sitting listening to the news in the studio, you'll ken who mm-hmm. this works, and they were asking folk about some kind of apprenticeship scheme that's run by the Scottish Government, and was it a good thing? Mm-hmm. And all this young Glasgow folk came on, and they spoke broad Glasgow. It was very surprising.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nae effort made by anybody, as far as I could see, to change their speech.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes when that kind of thing occurs, you think, well, that's good, because there's obviously self-esteem. And they're not conscious of having to alter their speech because they're in a space where you're expected to speak SSE. And I think that was quite encouraging. But other times, you do find it depressing. But say, for example, if you went out with a microphone into Commercial Street in Lerwick today and started asking folk in Shetland dialect about stuff, just on a issue, political, or what's happening with the football or whatever, would they... If you spoke to them in Shetland dialect, would their natural response be to answer back, or would some folk just answer back in English? So they would have a level of comprehension that they couldn't replicate in their own speech, if you know what I mean. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I get what you mean. And I think if it was a local body, nine times out of ten, if it was a local interviewer, and they kent that it was a local interviewer, they would speak Shetland back to you.
Mm-hmm.
They would be some folk that sees a microphone and thinks, I'll better speak again. Without, maybe even unconsciously, they think, why's going to be listening to this sort of thing? I'm not just speaking to this man, I'll better speak again, so as folk can understand me. And so, tricky.
But at least here, I think in Shetland, the difference with the mainland or Scotland or whatever we're going to call it is that there's opportunities for folk to hear
mm-hmm.
Shetland, mm-hmm. On the radio, for mm-hmm. example, which mm-hmm. we didn't hear. I mean, unless it's by chance, unless they just happen to pick on somebody that's maybe a Doric speaker or whatever.
I think it when the BBC local stations was dissolved, they used to hear, like, Mary used to speak about the different local... I don't think there's local commercial radio. Did they use Scots at all?
No, they didn't, normally. But if you get fit by phone-in programmes and things like that, folk will just speak in their own voices mm-hmm. a lot of the time. So, inadvertently,
yeah,
I mind writing to a community radio station in the northeast, northeast, something great. I can't remember if it was Card, but it was diminutised or, what do you call it, when you do, acronymised to NEEP. It's half a kind of country suited kind of thing.
But, brilliant.
But it was Card Neep. You think someone Card Neep, they would hear Doric speech.
It would surely hear someone at Kent with
them. And I wrote to them because we were looking for recordings to use for some promotional purposes mm-hmm. and we were looking for North East voices and we just didn't have the money at the time to go out and record folk
yeah.
ourselves like we're doing the day. But mm-hmm. I mind writing to this folk and saying, do you hear any you can policy on Northeast speech and using Northeast speech, and I got half a strange letter back for this folk saying that they had never even heard of such a thing, that they couldn't understand how anybody that they were interested to hear that somebody might have a policy like that. But this was a community based radio station. You would think that in places where the main local identity is based around about hearing a different way of speaking, mm-hmm. that would be the first thing folk would be looking at. Yeah. And especially when it's a speech-based medium. So the idea even is foreign to some
mm-hmm.
folk.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's strange.
So what about this new character that we heard about yesterday? now, I have to think about Is it Dratsy? Aye.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a joke character.
Tell us about who this came about. This Dratsy.
Oh, well.
Well, tell folk, first of all, what a Dratsy is.
A Dratsy is it's a term meaning author. And it was, I believe, one of the sea terms. The fishermen had a sea language. And they had sea words that they used when they were in the boat. For common things on land, like animals and horses and people. And a Dratsy was an otter. And in some areas of Shetland, I think that was the word they used at the time. But in my area, we just called them otters. And I think that's maybe brawly common. So, I suppose, I don't know quite keen why I thought up the idea, but the merchandising group in our Shetland Forwards was looking for a gimmick, a kind of promotion gimmick for the dialect and for the group itself. So they came up with this idea that Dratsy would be the mascot. And it grew until we now have a life-size Dratsy at...
He's more than life-size, because he's human-sized, is he?
I was watching him on stage, the stream, Tower and all Davy Cooper, the top of his head. So he's really, maybe not something you would want to meet in the dark night, but I think he is friendly.
He looked friendly.
He's friendly. Aye.
Maybe mischievous. I don't know if there's a Shetland word for mischievous or no.
I would say.
He maybe has another side to his character. Friendly, but ill-tricket.
We're only getting to Keenum, because of course we just met him this stream.
Well, he looks fine. He's big.
Yeah, big, he's yeah. And he's awful cuddly, actually, if you get up close.
And are you going to be... no, we're not going to do that road. I was thinking...
No, I think I will be observing.
We're just observing him. But he's a real thing, this Dratsy. He's not just like a person inside a costume. So just in case there's any parents listening...
He's on the website.
Just in case there's any parents listening.
Yeah,
he's on your website for the day, is that right?
For the day.
Uh-huh. And what does he speak?
He can't speak, of course, because he's an animal.
Right. So... When you're, what's his job then? What'll be doing?
Well, I think his role will evolve. He'll be publicity. He'll be eye-catching. He'll be entertaining.
And so we believe if there's like a country show or something like that, he'll be.
Well, he might.
He'll be turning up. Will
he might go there.
Aye.
I believe he would go there, and he might be under. I don't know. He'll be part of something that we need to draw attention to.
Aye, and obviously, he's attractive to younger Shetland speakers.
Well, we kind of thought that.
Aye.
Mm-hmm. And of course, his name will need explaining.
That's it, and there's an awful interesting story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. About this Drazes and about a Shetland. Now, what is it? Is it a proverb or what?
A Shetland saying.
Saying. Mm-hmm. And the saying, could you tell us what the saying is?
The saying is Latby for Latby.
And what does it mean?
It sort of means you give up and I'll give up too in a dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just call a truce here.
And there's a story that explains this, and it involves a Drazes.
Yes, it certainly does. Mm-hmm. Are you wanting me to tell you the story?
You could tell us if you like.
Well, you see, this you're sitting in Vaux, and it was a Vaux story. And the man was Cadrabi Glen, and I have no idea when he lived, but he lived in Hamery Glen, up beside the Vaux. And he catched otters and sell their skins. So he catched this big otter, slung him on his back, and made for the house. Heaven, he thought, fell them stone dead before he took him out of the otter trap. But he was not dead, and he revived, and he sank his teeth into Robbie's backside. And this, the otter is supposed, if he takes a grip with his teeth, he's supposed never to let go. So this was a problem, and Robbie eventually said, "Do slap me, and I'll slap thee." Let be for let be. And the author stopped biting him, and he let the author go.
And that's where we get
the saying.
The saying.
Let be for let be.
And the saying, I think, probably has special resonance in a community where folk have no option but to get along with
each other. Well, this is true.
Because I was thinking if there's only kind of expression like it on the mainland.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there is.
Oh, do you know?
No, I don't think so. Oh. I was thinking maybe this has got some special function in a community where there's no, you can't get a laugh with folk, you've just got to get along with them.
This is fair to give an on.
It doesn't come into my head anyway, so we'll have to have a look and see if there's anything.
Yeah, you can see if they're an equivalent.
You can.
But I mean, well, surely it would be Latby for Latby in Scots.
Well, if it existed, aye. But oh, yes, it's I maybe not part of the Scots speaking culture to like be. Maybe to just carry on festing if you get the chance.
Sink in the jazz and never slap.
Because you get the Scots expression biting and scarting. It's the Scots way of wooing.
Yes, I've heard that, yeah.
So that's maybe Mayor tells you about the Scots. But anyway, that's it's a great development. And I saw this Drazes on the stage last night. And clearly, what you've got at Shetland Forwards is a lot of creative folk with a real passion to succeed, to communicate to other folk the message that Shetland speech is something special that needs to be nurtured and cared for.
Well, I think that is the idea we share. That shouldn't, we don't want to see it go, we think it's worthwhile keeping.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I totally agree with you, of course. I mean, you'll not be surprised to hear that, because this is our job, is to, the Scots Language Centre is here to support and promote all the different forms of Scots speech. And whatever Shetland speech is, we are happy to have Shetland speech as part of that project.
I think that's good.
and to work with Shetland folk to try to help them succeed and to learn for Shetland folk. I mean, the great thing about Shetland, of course, is that that Shetland dialect campaigners has been probably the most successful group of campaigners in terms of supporting minority language speech of any in the Scots language part of the Scottish community. If you think about Scotland as a country with three languages, Gaelic's obviously been successful for a whole range of different reasons. English is successful, as we came from the wheel. And then among Scots speakers, probably Shetland has recently been the place where folk have been most active and successful. And I guess a lot of that's to do with the fact that Shetland is a clear linguistic, cultural and political space.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any kind of, it's not a permeable space in the same way that other places in Scotland are.
I suppose its size is an advantage in some things, because if you want something to happen, you generally can why you hit a approach. If you need help with something, you can find that help reasonably easily. You probably can the person or somebody else in the group will. So it does make things easier. Communication is probably easier in a peerier place.
I think so.
And I think the sense of identity until, well, I'm not sure now really, but sense of identity has always been very strong.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're an island, it's easy. This is it. You are your distance from other places aids that, helps that along, because you can very definitely why you are and where you are.
Aye.
Although we're very into communications now too.
Absolutely. I think the difference with Shetland and the other islands that surround Scotland is that Shetland's distant from, it's not just distant, it's not just an island, it's a distant group
mm-hmm.
of islands.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not really near anything else, it's just here itself.
Mind you, I mean, this just an hour's flight for
Aberdeen.
Aberdeen.
Well, that's the centre of the earth. It's the centre of civilisation and culture as well. Okay,
yes,
fine wheel.
No, we'd say that.
We are getting fine wheel. Anyway, Lorraine, thank you very much for...
Well, it's only a young honour used to you.
...giving us for dinner and then speaking to us about the Shetland dialect.
Well, I've been glad to see you.
Interesting. I find it interesting, and it's all useful to us.